So today we are going to begin with faith. Let the Holy Spirit show you where you need to humble yourself right now. Humble ourselves in your sight, O Lord. Humble ourselves in your sight, O Lord. And you lift us up. And you lift us up higher and higher, and you we worship you to you, Father. We thank you that you are in our midst by the power of your Holy Spirit. We glorify you today, Jesus. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. You are the bright and morning star. You are the all in all, Jesus. We praise you. Well, today, as the Lord has been speaking to me, where he can give you a message, and then he can download more, which kind of moves other things around, and then he can download more. That's kind of what he did with me, with this message for us. But the title of today's message is called A True Witness. A True Witness. I know for years, a lot of times people would talk about witnessing to people. But the Bible actually talks about preaching the gospel. But when it comes to witness, he talks about being a witness. So we're going to look into that. And if you'd look in your Bible to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 8. I would say if my fingerprints were touching a scripture and left lots of prints on it that you could see, it would be this scripture. Because there's so much in it. And I think it's important because it was left to the first church. Okay, we'll start with verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Boy, in a little teeny sentence, there is so much substance. But what's important to know for someone that maybe doesn't really study the scriptures is many times we'll hear people say, I went witnessing. But in this scripture, it says, he gives us that we shall be witnesses. And in the Greek, it's really important to know what this word means because it has so much more than most people realize. It actually is the word martyr. And I believe everybody understands what a martyr is. A martyr is someone that has sacrificed their life for something. In this case, it was talking about to the first church. He was preparing the first church that some of them were going to be martyred. And we know that Peter was martyred. We know Paul was martyred, and when you look at what they went through, or if you even read the Book of Martyrs, or you look at the movie Quo Vadis, and you see the different martyrdom, that is the word for witness. So what is a martyr? What were they martyred for? Because he's telling us that we would receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us, so that even if we needed to enter that situation of martyrdom, we could. And so power of the Holy Spirit is not just rattling off in tongues, though we do speak in tongues. It was to put within the believer a substance that could walk through whatever they will need to walk through as a believer on this earth. And for those that live in third world countries, you definitely, if you pray for them, you want to pray that God gets them this word. They understand. Some people are martyred for other things, and we see this through history. But this is a martyr that is standing for Christ, the Savior of the world. And a witness, this power to be a witness, testifies of our need for God through Jesus. A lot of times people, I've heard when I became a Christian and I would just hear different cliches, but they said, oh, we're going out witnessing. But that's really not the best way to present it to somebody. We're going out to preach the good news and win as many people as we can to righteousness. So, I believe that in this day that we are in a tremendous season of spiritual growth. For those of you that are either on this call or maybe you're on Prophetic Ministries call, and I really exhort all of you to be on both because they work tandem with each other. And I'm very grateful because as I learned as a businesswoman, school is never out for the pro. So because we are tandem in that, to where I came from spiritually came from what was imparted to me through her ministry. And just like Paul to Timothy, we're very close. Paul would be like a Miriam Hellman to Timothy, which would be kind of like me. And so there is an opportunity for us in this season to grow more than we ever have. I'm not so distracted with what's going on in the world that I don't see that this is an opportunity, a time to really develop who we are as true witnesses for Christ. We're told through the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us have measures of grace. Look at the talents God's given to you, which is grace. Look at how He's used you. Well, I want to say to you by the Spirit of the Lord that He wants to use you more than you have ever been used. And so this is an opportunity. This is how God works all things together for good to those that love Him. There are many that are frustrated in this day and because they do not know the Lord. But it really is an incredible opportunity. I would say, just like if you've eaten a big meal and you're stuffed, I am being stuffed daily with truth and opportunities to gain more understanding so I can be more effective in the days ahead. And also, God has opened opportunities for me to minister, even if it's on the phone. This day that we're living in reminds me of when I was a very new believer. And I was famished. I was so hungry to know what I had just surrendered to more fully. Because I knew if I didn't understand more, I wouldn't be able to handle the day that I lived in. So I knew the answers were in here. And in here with the help of the Holy Spirit. So growing in grace, what is growing in grace? Grace means it's an ability. every single one of us needs more ability. Do you have people in your family you want to see saved? You're going to need more grace. If they aren't saved, you're going to need it. If they aren't saved yet, you're going to need it. Are they full of the power of the Holy Spirit? If they aren't, you're going to need more grace to help them come there. Neighbors all saved? Everyone you meet, are they saved? No. And so it is a day to grow. It's an opportunity to grow. Where most of the world is talking about what we're missing out on, what we're lacking, it's never been that way throughout history, spiritual history in the Word of God. It's never been that way. They always grew through trials and tribulations. That doesn't mean we want to ask for trials and tribulations. It just means that's the way God operates. He works all things together for good. So turn in your Bible to Philippians 3, and let's look at a true heart of a believer that understands what their desire needs to be as a believer. And we're going to start with verse 10, Philippians 3:10. This is the Apostle Paul, and he said, that I may know him. And this is a very, very intimate word, know, kind of like a husband and a wife. And with Adam and Eve, they knew each other, which means they had very intimate intercourse. This is a very deep relationship that Paul wanted. He wanted to really know everything about the Lord. He grew up knowing everything about his Jewish heritage. He was a smart man, but he found at this moment, I don't really understand everything. And so that became his prayer. And I encourage you to let this be your prayer, that I may know him. Every one of us could probably say with our spouses or certain friends, I know my husband. I know my wife. I know this friend. But how deeply do you know them? Do you know everything about them? No one knows everything about anybody else except God himself. And this is why he's so wonderful to know, because he can reveal things to you that you do not know for the sake of prayer and intercession for the person. So he said that he wanted to not only know this and know the fellowship, but he wanted to be made conformable unto his death. He wanted to be conformed to the way he was going to need to be, even if it was at the end of his own life. He wanted to end his life like Jesus did. Didn't necessarily mean execution, but end it with everything that he was supposed to finish done. And if you're being persecuted in some third world country, it may be that you will end it being executed. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. All right, if you're sitting with somebody, I want one of you to apprehend the other one. Okay? If you're with somebody else. Now, so somebody's got to initiate it, all right? God initiate it. So one person apprehends the other one. Now I want the other one to apprehend them. No, don't let go of the other one. If you apprehend it, don't let go of your apprehension. Now the other one has to apprehend you. This is what our relationship with Jesus should look like. We apprehend him, and then we apprehend others with Christ in us. This is how we win people to Christ. is through these apprehensions. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he hadn't fully arrived in that apprehension. Every one of us have apprehended the Lord that's on this call to a measure. But today, he's calling us to apprehend him more. He's already fully apprehended in what he did on the cross. He's already done that. So our part is to continue to apprehend him. So he said, brethren, this I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What did he have to forget? What do you have to forget to fully apprehend the Lord? Forget doesn't mean that it never happened. It doesn't mean that you don't still remember it. Forgetting means you don't hold yourself guilty any longer. Have you ever thought about that? But you can only do this if you apprehend the Lord, because he saved us from ourselves. He saved us from our past. Our part is to grow in this grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if somebody comes to you and says, and you're a Christian, excuse me, and you do this, well, that may show you that there's still more that you need to apprehend, but it shouldn't make you condemned. If you've really received, excuse me, from the Lord, his apprehension for you and forgiving you, then you will never be condemned if somebody tries to throw that in your face. And actually, you being at peace will be a testimony to them that there's something probably in their life that they couldn't forgive themselves about, that they need to receive and apprehend the Lord about. This is important. I don't think a lot of people think about this when maybe they've presented the gospel to people and they wonder, why is this person just so standoffish? A lot of times it's because they don't and wouldn't forgive themselves at that point in their life. And so he said, I press toward this mark. This should be your goal. Press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are many things that the Lord will have us do, but the high calling means it came from above. It came from above. It came directly from the Lord himself. Paul's goal was perfection. This is a good goal. You may say, but I could never get it. Well, maybe not on this side, but it still means you should go after it. It's kind of like working out and trying to get your body at its best. Well, we live in a fallen body, so it's not going to go back to when you were 5 years old, but you still can continue to perfect it so that it lasts you as long as you need it to while you're serving the Lord. Don't you ever wonder how some people live to be 120? That we hear in the scriptures, and that they're full of life. Gosh, how many of us remember going to Israel when the woman came to dinner, and I think she was 90 something, she drove herself there. 90 seems so young many times in the day that we live in, because we have so many things that have helped people to continue to live their life. So Paul had a good goal, perfection. That's why when I said to Miriam, I want to be whole, spirit, soul, and body, that's perfection. Isn't it? Isn't being whole, spirit, soul, and body wanting perfection? And what's the answer? Yeah? It's a good goal. And if you don't have a goal that's that high, then you'll never get close to it. Some people set goals super slow, maybe because they're concerned they're not going to reach it and they just want to be encouraged. But it's always good to continue to raise the bar as we grow. Every one of you are not in the same place you were a year ago. Hopefully you've increased. And so if you've increased, then increase your goal. Let it come higher. Paul was not faultless, nor does he expect to receive perfection before his death. He just used this as an analogy of a runner in a race to show what his motivation was. And I think in this day, we need to know what our motivation is. What is our motivation for today? And just as a runner cannot be successful unless they concentrate on the race, we can't either. Unless we are looking to Jesus, as I'll talk a little bit more about in a moment, every single day, we're not going to keep moving forward. And that's what's really, really important. He also was choosing to live by an important principle, and that was keeping his attention on the road in front of him. In this day that we're living in, the cares of the world, the cares that we're reading on the news every single day, they're on the sidelines. And so if we're looking to that every single day and not looking at the prize of the high call that we have, we are distracted and it will hinder our race. So I make sure I get what information I need to get when the Holy Spirit prompts me to get that information. But my goal is to keep my eye on the prize. Think about a runner. Each foot has to go in front of the next one. You've got one foot going, and then you've got to get the other foot. So it is a continuous movement of our life. It's important. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit today to show you what your witness looks like to him. What is your testimony through his eyes? Ask him today, Lord, show me through your eyes. This is really helpful because some people are very hard on themselves and they really don't see themselves through the eyes of God. And some people have kind of elevated themselves and they don't see where maybe they need to humble themselves more. So it could be one side or the other, and it could be at different times, depending on the situation. Here's what a witness is. One who bears testimony to faith. This is biblical, the word in the Bible, what it literally means, in our understanding in English. One who bears testimony to faith. That bears testimony. When you think of going before a court, you bear testimony. Okay, I saw that person run into that building. I saw them in their car run into that building. You bore testimony of the event. We are supposed to every day increase in the bearing of our testimony of who Jesus is. It's good to write down, I challenge every one of you to do this today, to write down some of the things he has delivered you from. Maybe you haven't even thought about it as a deliverance. Maybe he spared you when you were a young child and moved you into another setting. Maybe he saved you from a horrible disease years ago. Maybe he saved your job, whatever it is. But it's good to rehearse the saving grace of Jesus. Now, in our culture, in the Western culture, when you think of a witness, many times it's somebody that sees wrong and reports it to authority. But in the scripture, it's used more deeply, as I said. Every single one of us are serving at a level right now. We're serving the Lord at some level. Some of you may think, well, some of that serving was taken away from me. Well, if it's temporarily on hold, that means there's another way that God wants you to serve in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's serving at his feet to get to know him more. I'm using this time to take advantage of having so much time to spend to seek him with all my heart. We need to remember that we're not here just to win many to Christ, but help them to be restored to God fully. When you think of people that have come to know the Lord, there's a lot of people that maybe are scarcely saved. They received Christ, maybe they saw something on television, somebody handed them a tract, maybe they said that, but where are they today? And when I think of moves of the Spirit of God in our nation, there have been different moves of just salvation, and then there was a move in the 80s of the baptism of, or 70s, I think it was, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At least there was in this area, and I jumped on that and received the power of the Holy Spirit. But some people are living today that received Christ after that, and they've not received the power of the Holy Spirit. So there may be some people that he's going to send us to that we need to bring them to the full understanding of what it is to surrender and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So I believe this move is going to be different than other moves. Plus, I see that the move that we're in is bringing great depth of understanding. I thought it was so interesting because of the word understanding, because we can know things in part. Every one of us, and we have a lot of really smart people in our ministry. I'm aware of that. And they may have a great understanding of certain areas. But here, the Lord is wanting us to have great understanding of spiritual matters. Every Christian, he wants them to have that, not just a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, whatever. He wants the whole body of Christ. Because as we've been talking recently, and even last night, I think it was at the prayer meeting. it was last night. About we really have probably a measure of faith to bring our families into the kingdom of God. But what about your neighbor? What about leaders? And then if you brought your children into the kingdom, have you brought them up in the nurture and the admonition? Do they have the understanding that you have? And so this is something that I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to work on in this day. And we're going to need the Holy Spirit's power for this, to be a witness. To be a witness means somebody is seeing something that you are doing or saying that lets them know Jesus is alive. It's not just giving them scripture. It's something they are beholding. I had somebody say something to me recently that asked me to do something. They said, Lisa, you are so at peace. So why do you think they asked me to do what they asked me to do? Because they wanted somebody that was in peace, living in peace, because they weren't. And so we are going to have situations arise in our lives where there are people around us that need the peace of God, and they need us to go into that situation and bring the presence. Bring an understanding of what they need. Bring the power of God to them. Help them to receive, maybe the first time in their life, to receive a miracle for a situation that they have never had before. As I was praying recently, suddenly the spirit of travail came upon me. And I didn't know fully what it was, but I knew to yield to it, to Him, meaning, and to let Him work in me. Now, travail talks about groanings that cannot be uttered in your articulate speech. So, but I knew it was from the Holy Spirit, and I knew that if I yielded, it may get more intense. If you've ever had the experience before with the Holy Spirit, but if I stayed with the Holy Spirit, He would use me to help bring the victory. I thank God I yielded. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is looking for people in this day that He can use to bring things to pass through that yielding. Now, Paul said he travailed in birth again, that Christ be formed in him. So he travailed first. It's not necessarily a bunch of noise as much as there's just this inner groaning on the inside of you when he came into the kingdom. But then he said he actually had this experience for other believers that he was praying for, and he couldn't completely express it in his known language. So it came as a groan. I really believe that Christians have had experiences like this, but they didn't know what it was. And they didn't really work with the Holy Spirit. They didn't acknowledge that He was moving upon them. It's kind of like a desire that you may have come upon you to do something. It's a movement that comes. When you think of times when the gospel moved through our nation, it came by a movement of the Holy Spirit upon His people. Why? Because people aren't going to know they need to be saved unless somebody preaches to them. And so I believe that we're entering in this. And the more you understand to work with the Holy Spirit, it's not soulish. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly who He can move upon and what He can move upon them about. The good news is if He chooses us for different situations, whether it's a soul, and, you know, this is really helpful. This was helpful for me years ago. When I had my first probably really, really intense experience with a spirit of travail from the Holy Spirit, and I was like, what or who am I praying for? Because honestly, I didn't know. I just knew my spirit by the Holy Spirit was wanting to yield over to something that I could not fully articulate in my known language. And when I did ask Him and He told me, it made so much sense why I didn't know how to pray. Because I didn't know. I didn't know enough, especially when you're praying for a lost soul. You don't know everything about that lost soul. And so you need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul first prayed and actually had those moments where the spirit of travail came on him for a soul, but then he realized they needed to grow up. So what was blocking them? He didn't know everybody's life. A lot of times people come to a Christian minister and they think you know everything. You don't. We don't unless the Holy Spirit shows us. And so our part is to yield over to the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that if the body of Christ will do this with understanding of what they're doing, you're going to see more salvations. You're going to see people wanting to grow and understand the things of God. But we first have to yield. Praise God. Amen. It's really interesting when you have this experience with the Holy Spirit, because it's really something that you have to work with the Holy Spirit about, meaning the Holy Spirit of God. You need to know and recognize what's going on the inside of you. I have probably for the last week had a very light measure of groaning. Just kind of like if somebody, I didn't verbalize it necessarily, but it was like, something's going on. Until today, when I was just getting ready for this meeting, and it increased, and increased, and increased. And then I got a phone call. It was the Holy Spirit using me and preparing me for the things that are ahead. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you all, let the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, take you to the next place that you need to come in growing in grace. Nobody can make you come to that next place. Even God won't make us. But He does tell us to desire spiritual things and to grow in grace. And I believe the way that we will be able to handle the day that is ahead is to come up to these new places with the Holy Spirit. Amen.